A Thanksgiving Day Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 23, 2000, entitled Beyond Duty to Delight. The texts for the sermon are 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 13 and 20 through 22, and 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
I was musing this morning in the early hours, made some marks on a paper and counted them up and found that this is my 34th Thanksgiving in this congregation. That's a long time. There are a few of you here who have celebrated more Thanksgivings than I, but not many of you. And it's always been one of our finest days, one of our happiest services. And I suppose there are reasons for that. It's a day in which we are called to count our many blessings. It's a day in which we become mindful, as we certainly ought to be every day, but especially on this day, how richly blessed we are. And whenever we contemplate the goodness of God, there has to be a sense of gratitude and well-being and a joy. I suppose that beyond that, Thanksgiving Day is the one great national holiday that draws us together. Even in spite of what's going on in Florida, Thanksgiving Day has probably best been captured in a Norman Rockwell painting, with a family gathered around the table set with a roasted turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, and all of the trimmings, the family heads bowed, giving thanks to God. There is something about that that is so deep, so true. It touches us in our depths, and we know it is perhaps our finest moment. Over the river and through the hills and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go, families gathering, traditions continued, memories, all of the wonderful associations that crowd around this Thanksgiving Day. So I suppose it's no wonder that it is also in the experience of worship one of our most joyful, our happiest moments. I was thinking about that, thinking about the fact that there must have been a moment back in the misty dawn of what we come to call the human. Was it 1 million years or 2 million years ago? I don't know. But there was a creature that stood upright. And standing upright, that creature was able to lift its eyes to the heavens and to survey the world about it. And then in the emergence of that creature, there was the dawning consciousness of being a part of being. There was a self-consciousness that dawned of one's own being and the being of another. And then, when did it happen? How did it happen? How can we know? But at some point, there was one of those creatures now standing upright gazing about, casting eyes to heaven, overcome with the awareness that the being that he or she was a being that was given, that one did not create oneself, that life finally was a miracle, it was a gift, there was a grace, and that human existence as it was emerging was born on the wings of grace. And at that moment, if ever we could recover it, we would know the beginnings of thanksgiving for that creature that finally, after eons of time, was able to stand upright, bowed the head. And in the bowing of the head was born human nobility. For it is the most noble posture of the human creature to stand erect with head bowed as an acknowledgement that life is gift, that all is gift, that all is grace. I was thinking about that as I gazed out and gray sky and the cold sea this morning. What an amazing, what a surpassingly marvelous thing it is for us to be thus aware, for us to have a moment to pause and to realize that we are gifted with life, that we are not of our own making, that we are finally creatures born by grace. To have such awareness, and then that awareness flooding our souls with thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving calling us to bow our head. Now that's deep. That's wonderful. That's an amazing moment of realization, recognition, and awareness. And there is no finer moment for any of us than when that sweeps over us and breaks our heart with joy. So we come to that awareness, but for all of the wonder of that celebrated in a moment of solitude, there's even greater joy in coming together with others who have discovered the same amazing truth. To come together in community and to express our thanksgiving in light of our shared awareness that all is grace and that we are the creatures who are blessed by God, born on the wings of grace. And so what do? Well, you celebrate. You have a party. You feast. Whenever God's people, whenever the human family has had a great moment, they've come together and given expression to the joy within. It was true of our Puritan forebears in that snowy, rock-hewn New England coast. It was true of the children of Israel. It was true of primitive tribes everywhere, coming together in community to give expression to that which was understood finally in solitude, but needed voice and shared celebration. Being caught up in in that moment together. Together being caught up in some great insight, and then perhaps some significant involvement. I don't know if there's any more beautiful expression in the scriptures, or anywhere for that matter, than the prayer of David. David, who had gathered gifts for the building of the temple. I'm always moved by the passage, I suppose, because David was so obviously moved, this king of Israel. And I'm sure there were careful preparations laid for the offering of the respective tribes. I'm sure that David had his troops, his legions out. I'm sure he had laid plans well in advance. But when finally the moment came for the outpouring of that offering, David was so moved by it that he offered a prayer unsurpassed, a prayer filled with wonder, humility, honesty, and thanksgiving. And he led the people in prayer. And then, as we simply must do, he said, "Let's have a party." He threw a feast. And if you read the menu of that day, you'll understand when the biblical writer says, "They sat down to eat and to drink with great joy." That's thanksgiving. Finally, a community needs to celebrate. And Paul knew about being caught up in a great cause as well. He was gathering an offering for the poor in Jerusalem, and he had gone around the various churches appealing to them to be concerned for those in need in the mother church, and reminding now the Corinthian congregation about the fact that the time was coming when he would be by to pick up their offering. He encouraged them to generosity. And he says many, many fine and insightful things there. But we have especially that well-known statement, "God loves a cheerful giver." And the Greek word is hilaros, from which we get hilarious. Paul is saying God loves a hilarious giver. And the hilarity of giving comes from being caught up in something that is bigger than oneself, being fascinated by some great movement, being captured by some cause, something that draws us out of ourselves, and we say, "Yes, we want to be a part of that." And this is the thing that Paul had been able to instill in that early church. And in the doing of it, he reminded them that what God wants us to do, as David found with the people of Israel, is to move from duty to delight. Oh, there's duty in life. There are obligations in life. There are some of the hard things that simply have to be executed. But if we are only going through life with an onerous duty and a heavy sense of obligation, we haven't yet begun to live. But to be caught up in something great, something moving, something that captures the fascination and moves the heart, that's really to be alive. And this was the case with David and Israel as they contemplated the erection of a great temple to the glory of God. This was true of that early church as they thought about ministering to those in need, because finally all of that awareness that issues in thanksgiving needs action. It needs some kind of response. And that response is simply the living out of the deep sense of delight within that comes in the wake of the awareness. And that's what Christ Community's Thanksgiving Day is all about as well. We have in a few moments the opportunity to flood this chancel with food for the hungry. And it always stands there each Thanksgiving as a visible sign of an outpouring on the part of a people who are grateful. It gives us an out for that emotion that we feel once we genuinely recognize once again the goodness and the mercy of God, that life is born on the wings of grace. And then we have the opportunity as well to bring our offerings. And I went through that list again this morning, and I was moved because I realized how all of the causes to which we will give our gifts are the causes I so much want to see flourish. It's the irony of our human existence that the best causes in the world tend to go begging. I just read through them and thought about them. And where would I start on a list of 17? Relax, I won't take you through all of them, but there was AWARE, which is the acronym for As We Are. And that's a ministry to people of homosexual orientation. And Jim Lucas is the chaplain. And Jim Lucas one day simply declared to his church community, "I am a gay man." And then he began this ministry, this ministry to God's children of a certain sexual orientation. And we've heard Jim's story here. And the organization is AWARE, the acronym for As We Are. And I thought to myself this morning, dear God, what must it be? What must it be if I could not be accepted as I am? Isn't it a simple desire of everyone to be accepted as they are? And I happen to know that ministry this summer had to cut back a bit for a while because there weren't enough gifts to support even a part-time ministry of a Jim Lucas who works for practically nothing in order to be there for people whose only request is, please just take me as I am. I guess that if any of us went for a day in a Camp Sunshine and saw children with various handicaps, no doubt laughing and squealing and having a great time, there are probably any number of us that would underwrite a whole day of that by ourselves. I guess those of you who've been at Camp Bluebird and see those struggling with cancer, finding support and given hope, I guess none of you would have to be cajoled into supporting that cause. Well, you go down the list. You see, it's a wonderful list. It's an opportunity for us as a community to do a good thing. The kind of thing really we want to do. This isn't a matter of duty. Well, if you put it that way, obviously we should do it. Obviously we should do it. But that's really not the point. It's to move from duty to delight, to say, that's a good thing. I want to be a part of that. I want to make that happen. It's a good thing. It's a tangible expression of love and compassion And in the light of the grace of God in my life, I delight so to do. This morning, I'm not really preaching about the Thanksgiving offering or the larger stewardship effort in which we're all engaged right now. I'm really not preaching about that. I hope the offering is subscribed. I hope our congregational budget is undergirded. Of course I do. But those are only illustrative this morning of something I want to say that's so much deeper, and I hope you hear it. And that is that we've only come into the fullness and the richness of human experience when we've come to that moment of awareness where, as creatures who stand upright and can survey all about and lift eyes to heaven, as creatures conscious, aware, as human beings, we come to such a sense of wonder and awe that that awareness causes us to bow our head and pray and give thanks. It is so wonderful. It is such a gift to live with awareness and sensitivity in bonds of human community, and to be able to be a part of the movement of God's Spirit in this world. Last evening, my sister died, and I got the call. A week ago, she had suffered an aneurysm from which she never gained consciousness. And so, in thinking about all of this, all of that was in my mind as well. I called the children, of course, and left a message on Joseph and Kathleen's machine in Florida, and they called back later on. And Kathleen said, "Dad, the moment I got that word, I called my mother and said, 'Mom, I love you.'" And I thought to myself, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful that we are creatures such as we are, that we can be aware, that we can be in love, that we can be in caring, compassionate relationship, that we can live in family and have all of the wonder of those beautiful bonds and relationships, that we can live in extended family and community and be conscious together that our life is born on the wings of grace? Isn't it a surpassingly beautiful thing to be human? To be able to stand erect, to know, to understand, to be overwhelmed with awareness, and then to say, "Oh God, oh God, thank you.